The big question is a big Chinese-American trade war erupting.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The big question in just a moment. First, a couple of economic numbers out with a glimpse at the American economy. The Labor Department reported today initial jobless claims fell by 16,000 last week. That's better than analysts expected. And the government just reported on the final revision for the nation's GDP. The economy in the second quarter expanded at a lackluster 1.7%. That's compared to 3.7% growth in the first quarter. Now to the big question. China today said a congressional move to punish it because of its undervalued currency could strain economic relations. And China says it's going to take such a measure to the World Trade Organization. The bill passed the House last night and heads over to the Senate. The debate, of course, centering around the claim that an artificially low Chinese currency, the yuan, makes their goods cheaper than American goods. We're going to get a little perspective this morning from Mark Chandler. He's a currency analyst at Brown Brothers Harriman with us live from New York. Good morning, Mark.
Morning. Thank you.
Does this have the potential to erupt into this big trade war?
I guess any little fight can always turn into a big trade war, but I think that you've got to keep these things in perspective. Canada is the U.S.'s biggest trading partner, and there's constantly tension between U.S. and Canada on various trade issues. So it's sort of like having a good neighbor. You might fight with them, but you're not going to go out and kill them.
Yeah, but Canada's just to our north. China's way across the world, right? And our biggest trading partner, right?
Actually, Canada's biggest trading partner, but China has moved into second place. And I think that there's tensions there, but the tensions that Congress wants to focus on are about the currency. And what the Trade Representative's Office wants to focus on are bad trade practices, such as not protecting intellectual property rights, such as favoring Chinese companies from domestically. And so I think that there's a whole range of issues, and Congress wants to focus on the currency. And I think that my understanding would be that the Senate, it goes to the Senate now, but that the Senate, Chuck Schumer, New York senator, says that he's going to take up the bill after the election. So I think that one thing, for the next several weeks, it's probably not going to go any further than this. In addition to that, I think that even if it gets past the Senate, it's not clear that the Obama administration would sign off on it, especially if they believe that it would be in violation of the WTO. You know, the World Trade Organization, that treaty has a very high level of saliency in the U.S. in terms of the Constitution and legal status.
All right. Mark Chandler at Brown Brothers Harriman, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Today is the federal government's last day of the fiscal year. No budget's been passed, only an extension of the current one through the next couple of months. And meanwhile, a stimulus program that put hundreds of thousands of unemployed people back to work runs out of money today. Senate Republicans have blocked new stimulus money to keep the program going, so pink slips could start going out. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The stimulus money has covered part of the paycheck for people to work at private companies, nonprofits, and government offices. States and counties injected the money right into existing welfare-to-work and job training programs. Elizabeth Lauer-Bash is at the Center for Law and Social Policy.
Almost all of the money that went to this went directly into wages. There was very little overhead, so there was a lot of job creation.
250,000 jobs, everything from painting to pie making. Some of those jobs have turned into permanent positions. Without more federal money, most states will wind the program down, says Judy Conte of the National Employment Law Project.
It could have really brought tremendous returns for relatively modest investment, and it's a very sad, wasted opportunity.
Senate Republicans have blocked additional funding, citing the deficit, though the program has strong support from governors of both political parties. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are mixed at the moment. Sovereign debt issues still weighing things down over there. Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ shed a few points. The Dow slid 22, less than a quarter of a percent to close at 10,835.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. And by the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM.
BP's incoming chief executive Bob Dudley takes the helm tomorrow, but already he's shaking things up. He's ousted one top manager and announced a new safety czar there, but it may take more than a change at the top to reform BP's culture. Reporter Janet Babin has more.
The most urgent item on Bob Dudley's agenda is to clean up BP's public image. He's created a whole new division dedicated to safety with the authority to intervene if standards are ignored. Amy Jaffe with Rice University says it's a good start, but she says managers at the top have to make it worthwhile for workers to put safety over productivity.
Put it into your compensation package that you get a compensation bonus based on your safety record. Other companies have done it through promotions. People who are competing for similar jobs, their safety record will be taken into account.
Others argue that BP needs to work from the bottom up. Jorge Piñon is a former BP executive now at Florida International University.
Boy, I can come up with a very fancy new organization and I can throw a lot of money at it and I can come up with the best manuals. It comes down to that individual. It comes to that operator.
But while BP figures out how to make this new safety culture stick, its competitors focus on expansion. Analyst Maddie Taitnin covers BP at research firm IHS Herald.
Their competitors don't have the same liability issues to deal with that BP does, so BP will be at an inherent disadvantage just from allocation of resources going forward, so that'll be a challenge it will have to overcome.
BP plans to sell $30 billion in assets to cover the cash needed to clean up the Gulf spill. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein told an audience in Brussels the other day his investment bank is quite portable. It wasn't that long ago he famously said his firm does God's work. Well, the Financial Times reports Blankfein made it clear that if stricter financial regulations go into effect in a place like, say, Europe, then God's work can move somewhere else. In other words, the Lord giveth, Lloyd Blankfein can taketh away. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.